Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Dadcast. I am your host, as always, JP, and joining us, as always, is the man, the myth, the growing hair legend who is very tenacious at what he does, Mr. Nick Martin. What's up, good sir?
How much, man? How you doing?
Oh, I'm. It's hot out. We finally got a heat wave where we live, and
yeah, it sucks.
In my multi-million-dollar studio doesn't have AC back here, so it's getting a little warm up in here.
Oh man, poor guy.
Yeah, we'll get through it.
We had to go buy a pool this weekend.
I saw that. We'll talk about that during the episode. Let's get to some introductions, man. Joining us today. Man, I've been looking forward to this one for a few weeks. We've booked him out, gosh, over a month ago. And finally, that day has come. He is a two-time, well, he may be a more than a two-time champion, but I guarantee you he's a champion in Division 4 and Division 2 NASCAR Series racing. But most importantly, today, this man is a dad like he is every day. Please welcome Brian Obojenski. How are you, sir?
What's going on, fellas? JP, Nick, thank you so much for having me on the show. Really enjoy it. Really looking forward to getting down into the whole dad thing for sure.
We're looking forward to getting down with you, man. First off, I got to mention, love your shirt. Big fan of 311. I've been a fan since the Grassroots album back in 1992. I saw them perform live in Chico before they were a big deal in 92. And we won't discuss all the things that went involved during that weekend. But if you're a fan of 311, you could put two and two together.
That's right.
All right. So, Brian, I like to preface the show. You are a fan. You've mentioned that you have watched a few, so I think you know what's coming. But let me tell you first off that we try to talk all things dad. Occasionally, we do go off the rails. And by occasionally, I mean pretty much every single episode. and that is okay. You know, we don't need to fill this entire up with just dadisms and dad talk. We'd love to chat with you about your career and anything else that comes up during the hour. Question number one, the rite of passage. Are you a dad?
I am a dad. Father of two.
And how old are they? Ages, all that good stuff.
We have a 5-year-old going on 31. And we have a brand new 2-year-old. He just turned 2 last weekend, had a pretty cool birthday bash out in the backyard, lots of playing, sandbox, ice cream, the whole 9 yards.
That is good stuff.
He's 2 years old and he's a monster. He's my little man for
sure. We all have something very much in common then, because over the weekend, this Memorial Day weekend, by the way, if you're watching this, this is being recorded Memorial Day weekend, so don't raise an eyebrow when you're like, this is August. Nick just had a birthday, his son, Liam, turned 1 year old over the weekend.
Yep.
And my baby girl turned 8 yesterday, May 31st.
Awesome. Happy birthday to the kids for sure.
Yeah, and yours as well, man. So,
yes,
wow.
Definitely.
How is it? Isn't being a dad like the greatest thing in the whole wide world ever? I mean, better than being a NASCAR driver champion.
Correct. You know, I was scared to death when Jacqueline walked out and was like, hey, guess what? I'm pregnant. It was like, you know, I was afraid. I was afraid, but now I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's the greatest gift in the world. Absolutely is.
How old were you, if you don't mind me asking, when you found out you were going to be a dad for the first time?
Let's go back. I was 31.
31. So 31 and still scared. That just goes to show you guys out there. It's not only you. This is a fear that I think is written into our DNA. It's just, hey, I'm pregnant. Okay. Now that that has passed, I had the same scenario. I mean, I've said it in a few episodes in the past, but it wasn't for a lack of trying for many, many years. There was never even an accident involved when it came to me. I just figured without actually going to the doctor and having it professionally checked out that I was shooting blanks, and that was it. And then one fateful morning, a day after my birthday in 2009,
very nice.
I get that down the stairs. Hey, guess what? And she showed me the positive pregnancy test. And I said, who else are you sleeping with? Cause I can't. Nice. Made her go take another test. Then we went to the doctor to get it completely figured out. And there it was. I was going to be a father. And, you know, 9 months later, my son was born, and that was pretty cool. It's still pretty cool.
This whole dad thing. When you see that sonogram on the screen, it's like, all right, I believe the doctor.
Yeah.
It's not right. Like, this is going to happen.
When you get to hear that heartbeat for the first time, it's still just, I mean, I did it last night. You know, baby girl had I keep saying baby girl, but she's always going to be my baby girl, but 8 years old, she's not much of a baby anymore, but she played hard. We had a big day yesterday and she had a couple parties and family over. So she was just out. And I did that. You know what I always do? Just laid my head on her chest and hear that heartbeat again, you know, 9 years later, almost to the day. And it hasn't changed that just how amazing it is.
Right.
So are there going to be future NASCAR champions in the future?
I don't know. We'll see. Little man, he decided to wreck the power wheels.
Okay.
He wrecked the power wheels. He hit the seesaw in the backyard. So we got some work to do with him. we have a little bit of work to do with my oldest, my daughter. She's she all of a sudden has taken a huge interest in hockey. And I'm a firm believer, you know, follow your dreams, because that's what dad has been doing and will continue to do. So if Ella wants to play hockey, we're going to get some skates. And I actually enjoy the sport myself. It's probably where she kind of picked it up a little bit.
Right.
Go Hurricanes. We're in round two of the playoffs right now. So definitely a cool deal. Nice. But she's a little bit away from, she loves going to the racetrack, loves race weekend, but she's geared towards the whole hockey deal right now. So we're going to have to start figuring out how to do some drills and some cones and get some pointers from some folks.
But that's exciting.
That's what I think you got in the future. Yeah.
You know, if there's any negativity to be said regarding that last statement is, did you have to pick hockey? The most expensive as far as
skates and pucks and helmets.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And travel and get all sorts of the stuff that goes along with it.
Good stuff. Sorry about. So, you know, if you haven't figured out already, my $1 million studio in the background is not real. It's just a backdrop. And of course,
I was hoping you were going to go grab one of those acoustics and jam out.
I can't. It's just out of reach, man. Just out of reach. But I just realized that my shirt is a shade of green and it's freaking out a little bit because of the green screen. And well, if it's just a floating JP head later on, don't be too shocked.
You're like Field yeah. of Dreams.
So I'm an LA Kings fan. So I had my glory a few years back.
There you go.
And then
championship a couple years ago.
And I'm kind of when it comes to sports, I try not to have a second favorite team because that's just, you know, growing up, that's just wrong. That's just that ain't right. Yeah. But I do secretly root for the Vegas Knights.
Very nice. Cool team, is, new franchise, a lot of hype behind it.
And what heck of a first year they had.
No kidding.
Too bad they couldn't close it. But anywho, Nick. All right, man.
Yo.
I'm going to give you the conch for a second. Okay. I'm putting you on the spot because I always do this. It's just JP talk. And
actually, yeah, because we never got to finish. We were texting a couple of days ago and you were hanging out with, oh my gosh, I'm drawing a blank. Hugo.
Pantrick.
Yes. I love those guys.
Super cool guys. Hit it off with Sebastian Labar a couple of years ago. Just did some shows. I go to a lot of shows. I'm a rock and roll dad.
Yes,
so I got my racing deal, but I'm super metal dad, you know, but
right
hit it off with Sebastian. He's a cool dude. He's actually the son of Jeff Labar, to throw it back, from Cinderella.
Oh, wow.
So we got to talking about that kind of stuff and all. And he's just a nice guy, big car guy. When he's not playing guitars on stage, he's wrenching on cars, fixing friends' cars. So, you know, we hit it off. Two dudes, rock and roll music, couple beers, just talk about cars. So when they go,
were they playing a show or something in your area?
Yeah, they did. They played like 2 hours west of here.
Oh,
it
cool.
was the first show I've been to since the pandemic. It was really nice to get out and smell like a smoky bar with stale beer again, you know, like that smell that everyone's missed.
Dude, I can't wait.
Went out there and saw them. So it had been almost 2 years since I saw my last show before the pandemic. We went and saw Tool right before the shutdown. That's a tough one to top, you know.
Yeah. Everything
that here does is awesome. But it was cool to get back out, cool to support music and you know, local business again like that. I'm excited that it's kind of coming back around for everybody.
I'm hoping we get some.
Sorry, buddy, go ahead. No. Go. It's that I'm Zoom thing.
Get some stuff in our area over here. It's like we got West Coast is still kind of iffy on
coming, right?
Yeah, where it's going to happen. And our governor is just a piece of work. So she won't announce guidelines for capacity and stuff. So it's like, are we going to get something? Are the bands going to be able to stop on the I-5 coming up?
Of work would not have been the words I chose, for the record.
The what?
He got it. You said our governor is a piece of work. Of work are not the words I would have chosen.
Yeah.
But it is a family-friendly show. So, anywho. Where is here exactly? Where are you broadcasting from right now, Brian?
I am in the middle of very close to downtown Raleigh. I could throw a baseball right now.
So you are smack dab in the middle of racing world over there.
Wasn't always.
Right.
I was made in New York. I spent the better part of my life up there on Long Island, the eastern end of Long Island, out towards like the potato farms, and got a chance to move down south, kind of pursue some of the racing stuff, and did that in 2008 with my girlfriend at the time. Fast forward, mother of two, wife now. So we've been together a long time, and we have made the Raleigh area home. We live a little bit north of here, about an hour north, but the area is just fantastic.
What was when your children were born? Were you? I know it depends on the hospital and, of course, the decisions of the family. But were you present? Were you there for the birth?
I was. This is actually the gold you were talking about. This is a good dad cat story. September 2015. I'm coming to the end of the season for the racing season that year. And I just had I don't know if it was the motivation of about to have a child. I was just electric that year. The team was, everything was right. And we won 14 races that year. That's the most I've ever won in one season. And we came down to the end of the year and I knew we were coming up to the due date and we got to the last week of race season. And I said, for sure, she's not going to have the baby on race night. Yeah. The last night, right? So we planned everything out and ended up being race night was going to be on Friday and Jacqueline went into labor on Wednesday morning. So we had the baby late Wednesday night and Thursday, Friday came Friday morning. I'm kind of, hey doc, you know, she's doing great. Everyone's awesome. Let's head on home, you know,
right.
And they let us go. They discharged us. I brought Jacqueline, my wife, and Ella, the baby, home, got everyone set there and took off in the truck with both fathers, my dad, my father-in-law, the entire team, everyone, and went to Ace Speedway, won the race that night, and won the championship. So that was fantastic. You know, I mean, we went and celebrated at the Waffle House on the way back home, you know, everything you needed to do, and got to get home and see my wife and baby that night. That was probably one of the coolest nights of my life. You know, just walking in the house with that big trophy,
right,
and that buzz, that electric high of getting out off the track and just knowing that we did everything we could. And that 2015 was just a stellar year. Became a dad, champion, won all those races, did everything I needed to do. You know, just living large that year.
It's hard to top that. Maybe are there any more kids in the future? Is that a possibility?
About that one, we'll see. Two seems like a good number. But if you ask Jacqueline, she wants like 12. She wants to get like one of those big vans, you know, that kind of deal. But I think we're going to stay with two. If three comes along, I'm not going to be angry about it. But well, two's a good number.
being a race car driver, I am pretty certain the word superstition is involved in your life.
Yeah.
You put two and two together. Maybe this time you win 15 races. Just right, saying. Exactly. And throw you right into Division One.
Jacqueline's sale is, if we have more kids, then you'll have an entire pit crew.
Yes.
That's good logic. There you go.
I get where she's coming from with it. I totally get where she's coming from.
Nick has an entire orchestra.
That's right.
So I've heard. That's awesome.
What is
six
the...
Six that we know about, 386 that are questionable.
Yeah. Got away.
I'm glad you said it finally for the first time on the episode, Nick. That's usually my line.
Mark it down.
Yeah, talked about it. Well done. Like June 1st.
Minus the talent and the money, you know.
You could be more accurate. I'm just saying. So 5 and 2 just had the birthday, right? Those are the ages. The 5-year-old is the boy.
Girl.
Ella Jane. 2-year-old's the boy.
He's Grayson. Yep.
Grayson. I love that name. I had a Mr. Grayson in high school.
Joseph. Grayson.
Have you experienced? They're still young, so there's a lot more. You could actually ask the questions of us when I'm through with what I'm about to mention, because I bet you they might have one. But have you experienced yet the dynamic that is the difference between raising a daughter and a son yet?
Yes. Yes.
Talk to me. Explain.
Ella is coming to the end of preschool. She graduates this Thursday. Really excited about it. You know, I'm planning on bringing her flowers and taking her for ice cream, doing the whole thing.
Yeah.
But the difference between her just even a couple months ago versus now, she's really coming into that girly, I want to wear this dress for graduation. She knows it's an event. She knows that she wants to wear that dress, right? So she's kind of coming into her own with that, where my dude, Grayson, is just like, I don't want a shirt. I just want to go roll around in the mud outside and play with my monster trucks and, like, you know, just fights the bath, the whole thing that the little boy does. But, you know, that's kind of where I'm seeing it, is he's going to be the rough and tumble and she's going to be the, you know, the real girly girl. Although she wasn't, but she's kind of getting there. I think it's Disney doing it. Those Disney people, all the princesses.
Yeah. Well, hey, and for, on that note, my son will be 11 in August and he still doesn't want to take a shower. So look forward to that. Pulling teeth every single time. I don't understand it. I honestly do not get it. I mean, is he like a crazy superhero who his weakness is being splashed by water and it hurts? Because you would think that at how much he just fights and pulls, I am not wanting to do water, but you take him to the beach or a pool or a river or a lake, right in.
Gone, right?
Maybe exactly. It's the soap.
Stay tuned for the next episode of Dadcast to find out about JP's son.
And yes, Sawyer, we're going to figure this one out together. And I love the fact that, you know, your preschool, that was a monumental day for me as well. And every single year on her birthday, because it falls near the end of the school year, I've been able to bring her a dozen roses, a candy, and a balloon to her class. Last year, didn't happen. Okay. This year... her birthday was yesterday, Memorial Day. So as soon as we're done here, I'm doing the same thing, and I'm charging that school, and I'm going in, and hopefully they let me in to do it. They should. They know me. You know, dad's a celebrity, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Yeah. But I can't wait to do that. That's like I'm planning on doing it every single year until she graduates high school. So those are going to be some fun years. Walking in when she's a senior in high school with roses. Yeah. She might appreciate it then, but I'm thinking 7th grade through 10th, 11th grade is going to be awkward, and I'm all in. I can't wait.
Spot in there. Yeah, there's still a good spot in
there. Any scary moments as a dad for you, or in anything that you fear still being a dad?
We had it like the like you see in the movies, like the allergic reaction once.
Okay,
that was pretty wild. You know, we believe it was canned blueberries. Just on a whim, I decided, hey, I'm gonna make muffins for the kids this weekend. Put muffins together, you know, I do the whole baking thing. And next thing I know, I was like, Dad, I don't feel good. She's like this, and it's like, what do we do? Benadryl, you know, call the doctor.
Right.
Freak out. That was probably the most wigged out that I got, because I remember kind of like my heart rate's going like, okay, yeah. I cooked the muffins. What did I do? What did I do to my poor kid? You know, is this going to stop her? Is she going to be like Violet and Willy Wonka? We're going to like roll her to the doctor.
Float away.
So that was probably the scariest moment for this duration of what we've been through so far, is the allergic reaction, the tale of the allergic reaction.
Nick, you got something? You look like you had something.
Yeah, probably the worst thing though is like, feeling like you did that, and it's like, yeah, oh, man.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, like I do a lot of the cooking on the weekends.
Uh-huh.
Sunday is like dad breakfast. Everyone knows the hashtag dad breakfast. You're getting bacon and sausage and eggs and the whole nine yards and pancakes, and everyone's not going to be able to eat for the rest of the day. Like I take pride in doing that breakfast, right?
Yeah.
So I just decided, hey, I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to throw some blueberry muffins in there, and it's like, why would I ever do that?
Variety, man.
My little guy, he has an issue with like textures on food. So I'm all about like, let's experiment, try to get some crazy stuff. So yeah. I gave him something, he choked, and I'm like, oh my God, I almost killed him. And then he like got all dirty. So I put him in the bath and he slipped in the bath and almost drowned. So like twice in like an hour, I almost killed the poor kid. I'm like, oh my God, I'm not cut out for this.
Yeah. For a guy who has 387 kids, you should have realized by now that you don't give them solid food at 2 months old, Nick.
Well, he's almost a year.
Oh, well, now he is.
Yeah, French fries and hamburgers. It's all good.
Exactly. Pro tip. Pork
chop later. Bone in pork chop.
Pro tip, Brian. Pro tip on those pancakes and blueberries. No more blueberries. Chocolate chips. Done.
Right? I mean, it would have been my first choice anyway. I'm the biggest
Man, it is. Look at this. Look at this. I'm glistening, you guys.
What is it, like a sparkly vampire out there? Where are you guys?
We're in Southern Oregon, and yesterday was like the official first, the hottest day of the year that we got down here, and it got up to 97 degrees, which is not bad, but we're looking at today, heat advisory, and it's supposed to be hit 103 by 5 o'clock, and it's currently about 95, but, you know, I'm inside a uninsulated studio.
I got you.
And it's
we're chilling at 81 degrees right now. So not terrible. Kind of a mild beginning to the Carolina summer.
In my infinite wisdom decided I would set up because I've got a studio in an actual studio, indoors, AC proper. But like I said, infinite wisdom, I'm gonna set up the secondary Zoom one so I don't have to go to the studio every single time in my garage, which doesn't have AC in it.
It was fantastic till 2 days ago, right?
Yeah, right. Now I need to rethink it. Winter time, I can throw the heat on or the heater on, no big deal. But today I need to think of a fan and hopefully it doesn't ruin the audio experience. But we're gonna push through. It's just fine. I'm not sweating through the shirt yet, so I think we're good.
Man. I weekend at Bernie's pool, you can come over and jump in with me.
I'm in. Hey, Brian, question about cars. This is random, but it's pertinent to me. What are your thoughts on Teslas or electric vehicles in general?
I'm all about them.
Yeah.
I'm all about them. I think it's a good move. I think it's going to take some time to really get the technology right. We're in just the tip of the iceberg with electric vehicles. There's a lot coming. Day job. I'm a General Motors world-class electric vehicle technician.
Really? I had no idea. So how awesome was that foresight question?
You couldn't nail it any closer, man.
Wow. I did not Wikipedia or dig deep on that. That is organic.
I've been working on Cadillacs for 21 years, about 20 years right now. And I have just heavily gotten into the electric cars over the past couple of years and been to a ton of training and hands-on with them. But the technology is leaps and bounds better than it was about 10 years ago.
Right. So
we're really, really close to nailing it. They're going to be right.
When the hell is everybody else going to catch up to Tesla?
Give me a year and a half.
Okay.
A year and a half. The new battery technology, and this is not an ad. Disclaimer, this is not an ad. But the new battery technology from General Motors is fantastic.
Now, it
is
fantastic. What about the charging infrastructure? That is, you know, almost the most important thing.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's so much that goes along with it. And there's two sides of the story, too. There's the people that are like, oh, it's green, but the carbon footprint for creating this stuff. I mean, it's just a mishmash. But I believe that in the long run, if you take a 20-year sample of this, I think you're going to see that you're really going to have massive improvements, and it's going to make life a little bit easier.
Yeah, I'd hope so the reason I ask all this, I'm just going to turn this over here just a tad.
I see it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So I recently got that. It's one of my unicorns. It's my dream car. I've been working real hard for a long time and I finally got it. And the biggest question I get from family or friends or anywhere I go is why didn't you get or hold out for like the new F-150, the Lightning, the full electronic or anything other than that Tesla? And my initial response was, well, they aren't as fast, but that's not the most important thing. It's when I'm out in the real world, I want to take a trip to Texas. There's nowhere. Well, there's plenty of places to actually plug in with a non-Tesla vehicle, but it's super, super slow. You know, they're all like sitting on level twos, and the Tesla supercharger infrastructure is just, you can't beat it. I can go drive to New York and back and not worry about a thing. And charge real quick. So that's what I'm hoping to see in the industry, where it's just as common as a gas station where I can plug in and hit it 250 kilowatt per hour at least for any car. And then you know, I might get that Mustang. We'll see, you know, but
who knows? Exactly. There's the talk of the town right now is the technology forthcoming for the charging for the GM cars, mm-hmm. but also I'm beginning to hear the talks about wireless. So park over the top of a charging pad, just like your giant phone. You're going to put your giant phone in the garage
right.
and wireless charging mat on the garage of your floor and never even touch a cable. So like I said, the technology is so new. Give it a couple years, and by 2023, 25, you're going to see some wild stuff in the car industry.
I just thought of $1 million idea as you told me that. And so anyone watching this or listening to this video in the future, when the wireless car charging pads are available, help me out with the cover, the custom cover for your charging plate. We can make
Badcast.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly. That's it.
Yes. Or, you know, custom, whatever you want.
That's it. Exactly.
That's wow. That's so amazing. That's a cool job so you got there, man. That's
That's really cool.
I could diverge off the whole dad thing and spend the rest of our time talking just about that. But I'm going to pump the brakes. I tell Nick to pump the brakes all the time. I'm pumping my own brakes right now because it's so exciting to me. And I don't even have the fast one. I got a used mid-range and it's
gets you where you got to go, man.
And it still gets me there so freaking fast. I'm a muscle car guy through and through since I was born and bred. I don't care if it's a Camaro, it's a Mustang, it's a vet. If it's fast, I'm in. And yeah, I bet you can relate to that. And
a lot of dads are. I mean, flip back to the episode with Ben Carey. Those guys are some muscle car guys.
Yes. Right. Speaking of Ben Carey, he was there, but he really wasn't there. We got to have that was the multiple, you know, we had Ben. Yeah. We need a solo. Ben, you watching? I am totally using Brian's time to hire you and to convert you. We need a solo hour with Ben Carey and Brian Ellis Monroe. We'll take both of you.
I got a great Ben Carey story too. Ooh. And it's so funny that I just stumbled upon that episode too. I was like, check this out. So we go every year. My sponsors bring me to SEMA in Vegas,
yep.
big car show. Right. I do some stuff where I sit and sign some photos and, you know, talk to people about some of the stuff the sponsors offer. And one night, me and my wife decided we're going to go out to dinner. We went out to Gordon Ramsay's joint, had an awesome dinner in Hell's Kitchen, started walking around. And one of my friends in the rock and roll world told me about the barbershop. So I'm like, all right, cool.
Nice.
I go see the barbershop. I go in there, you know, I kind of make my way to the back. I get into the bar. And I'm like, wow, this band is pretty good, but I think I know this guy. Like, I'm pretty sure I know who this guy is on stage playing guitar. Turns out, I believe it to be Ben Carey that night, but I was a little bit, you know, I had a good time in Vegas. So we were sitting there just listening, you know, but it was, man, that was a lot of fun going to that place. That was a really cool joint.
Well, yeah, Ben's a good friend of ours. He's actually one of our managers of Dadcast. Didn't know if you knew that, but man, I am confident enough now where I can say if you are in Vegas anytime in the future, I can arrange myself to be in Vegas as well. And Nick and cool. A simple text or a phone call and you, sir, are in at the barbershop and we are going to have a good time. No problemo. And, you know, we'll do the introductions before we start the drinking.
You can even learn some really crappy rock point. Song and sing with them.
Yes.
Hey.
Yes.
We gonna do karaoke night? Is that what we're talking about?
We should do it. Yeah,
dude, I'm in. I will hop in that car right now.
I'm kind of into.
Sounds like a good night that I have in my future.
When do you see yourself in Vegas anytime soon? Let me backtrack. Are you off season right now?
I am mid season. Earlier this year, I had a fairly bad crash at a racetrack. And I'm kind of just getting my body back together, but we are, we're headed back to the track next week. Shameless plug, the Halifax Insurance 250, South Boston Speedway is where we're headed. Tickets online, watch it online, the whole nine yards, but, first race back after a pretty wicked wreck in March. So I'm excited to get back. Unfortunately, we're out of the points this year. But it was definitely, take care of yourself kind of year, you know, after you smash the wall at about $110, $120.
Yeah.
I've
seen
in places they shouldn't be.
I've seen Days of Thunder so many times. So I get it. At least I think I put myself in that scenario. Is there any hesitation at all to put yourself back in that seat?
You You know, I did another show. I think it was either Wind Tunnel or PRNs at the track, and I was asked the same question.
Sorry,
when I was younger.
I should have kept it to dads.
No, you're good. You're good. It's a great question because it's something that every racer doesn't want to admit. There's only a few of us that will admit it.
Right.
But when you're young and you're in your late teens, early 20s, nothing matters. You're invincible. You know, the walls and cars and fires and wrecks don't matter, you know? And I feel like when I was younger, I took more chances, where now that I've got two kids and a wife and a family and, mm-hmm. you know, dependencies around me, that I do race differently. I wish I could find a way out of that, but I can't. You know, it's a difficult position to be in, to be able to, okay, you know, we're coming down to the last lap and I can throw this thing three wide, but I may end up upside down on fire in the parking lot for a trophy and a couple $1,000s, or I can play it cool, bring it home in second place and not have to work on the car all week, spend more time with the family, not be hurt, you know, not have to recover, get IVs, you know, all that kind of mess.
Yeah.
But it really, you feel it, you know, but there still is that driving passion that I want to do the best I can for my sponsors. I want to prove to my kids that you give it your all, you never quit, you know? So there's a lot that it's like a seesaw back and forth of what I'm feeling, what I'm doing lately, but I can feel that the career might be on the wind down. I enjoy it. It's all I've done for so many years. I've been blessed to win 48 races. You know, I'd love to hit that 50 and put on a Hawaiian shirt and grab a surfboard and call it quits, you know, but I don't know. I don't know when that point is, but that definitely, that's a great question. There comes a point in time where you start feeling like you're not being as aggressive as you used to be. Yeah. For multiple reasons. And that's where you kind of got to weigh your options
out. I can only imagine, though, that actually in the moment, that scenario, one lap left, second place, you can drop that hammer. And I think that takes over, right? It has to. I was at a stop sign the other day and it took over. And it's just.
Your heart rate's going. I mean, I work with a sports nutritionist, because in the car, when you're in there for that long, you sweat like crazy down here. Inside of the car is about 140 degrees, 135 to 140 degrees, which I cook ribs at that temperature outside on Sundays. Yeah. So it's hot, you know? So your mind is not right. And, you know, your conditioning needs to be on point. So there's so much that goes on with that white flag. You know, it just brings out the crazy in some dudes. So you gotta be focused and stay in the moment.
I don't know how it works with NASCAR and being called up, et cetera, but I'm gonna propose a scenario to you. It's 3 years from now. Your kids are 9 and 6, and you've been out of the game for a year, and your career's going great. Everything's fantastic. But you're called up to race Daytona or Talladega, Division One. Are you jumping back in?
Yeah.
I figured. Yes.
we're going to go. We're going to go.
Right.
You know, once you're a racer, you know, you see things differently. You know, it's hard to put into words what that feeling is, what that drive is. You know, it's so competitive in nature. And I've come all the way up through the ranks, Division 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, where I'm at now. And I've had opportunities come for the truck series, for the Xfinity series. It takes a lot of funding. The funding aspect of the sport, you want to be good at baseball, you grab a bat and some cleats and you put in the time and effort, you're there. You're talking about millions of dollars to get to those points per week for some of these races that you see on TV. And that's where I feel like for me, it loses its luster. It becomes more the business of racing,
right,
versus the passion of racing. And when you go to some of these tracks that I race at, which are these regional NASCAR All-American Series races, you see the guys that are working the full-time jobs, that are dads, that have got family but have commitments, and they're finding a way to get to the track. That's the pulse. That's the heartbeat of racing in America, are those tracks in Idaho, North Dakota, North Carolina, Florida, Alaska. There's guys and girls all over the place giving it their all to get to the track and do what they love to do. Not that there's not passion in the Cup Series and the Xfinity Series and the Truck Series, but it's there's a disconnect sometimes between the drivers and the crews and what goes on to make the car get to the track. And I think that's what I love so much about the regional series is that it allows me to still be present all week. I'm not on a plane going to Pocono for the weekend, leaving on Wednesday, coming home on Sunday. Yeah. I'm home. When I go to the racetrack, we leave on Friday, you know, or we leave Saturday and we're home Sunday enough for dinner to hang out with the family. So that's what I really, really enjoy and feel that the regional series embodies. But, you know, that phone rings and everything yeah. comes together and 2 + 2 = 4. You know, got me in.
That's like
we're there.
My situation too. So I don't know if you know. Well, you might know. You've watched all the episodes. I've worked in radio for more than half my life. And if the Howard Stern Show calls up, see you, Nick. But the likelihood of that happening is not going to, you know, not too likely at this point in stage in the career. But yeah, you know, you got to take those opportunities when you can. What is the greatest thing about being a dad in Brian Obojenski's life?
The greatest thing about being the dad.
I said your last name right too.
Is when I have been at work for 10 hours. It's 100 degrees. I'm tired. I've got my ride home. I listen to dadcasts, and I feel like I've got nothing left. And I know I've got to get a car ready for racing this weekend, and I've got to mow the lawn, and I'm feeling stressed. But I open that front door, and those two kids come running down the hallway. Daddy's home! That's you can't put that in a box. You can't buy that. You can't obtain that any other way. You know, that's those are your kids. They've waited all afternoon to see you like that. Every day recharges my batteries to do it all over again, you know, provide for the family and be the best dad I can. It's that moment, you know, they just that I hear the come running down the hallway.
It's amazing how you get that second burst of energy too. When that happens, you're like, oh my gosh, I can go again.
Oh, it's just heavy, man. It's such a cool feeling.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, you haven't hit the part where they hate you yet. So, it's an unjustified hate too. But you know, just ask Nick. Yeah. It's going to happen. You know, it doesn't happen to everyone, and I may be really, really over exaggerating that statement. Yeah, but it's a roller coaster, man, for sure. And
I wouldn't say it's even a hate, though. I say it's more of a. Confused.
It's like I mentioned.
I remember it. I remember being young. There's a misunderstanding at some point that happens. It's a misunderstanding. My dad, my mom love him to death, you know, but there was a point somewhere in my 13, 14 year on earth where all I knew was my guitar and all I wanted to do was play AC/DC as loud as I could. And no one understood that, you know, they knew what I was doing and I knew what I was doing, but there was just that gap in years where it didn't work. And then all of a sudden everyone wakes up one day and everything clicked and it was like, dang, I love you. Thank you for everything. And everything gels. So I'm hoping we get through that transition pretty quick.
In
my scenario.
See, or like I'm going on 3 years of that transition now. So
it's not a quick, goes, man.
The 3 year transition. That's a good band name right there, Nick. 3 year transition. Opening up for Metallica or something.
Metalcore band out of Oregon.
That's right. Featuring my angsty teen daughter who hates everybody.
What is the deal with all these cores? There's metalcore, there's deathcore, there's blackcore, there's actually
Christcore. I just learned about Christcore the other day.
Oh, is that Christian metal?
Christian screamo.
Oh.
Yeah. I was like,
that's,
wow.
That's a new term.
Like an angrier Creed. Right.
How can you get much more angrier than Creed?
Right? Yeah. I mean,
you got his own prison. Come on.
Where's my button?
Somebody had to come up with a really bad dad joke. That was
pretty much.
Oh, I think Creed itself is just angry if you're listening to it. You know, you know, we don't need to get to the Nickelback talk either, Nick. Yeah. My lady made a heck of a point. You know, it, actually, you know, it was my brother. We were driving along the other day, and Nickelback comes on. He turns it up, and I do one of those numbers because I just have to. You know, it's rite of passage. And he's like, hey, man, for such a band that gets so much hate, how come they sold so many albums and made so much money? I'm like,
Mom.
Secretly, everybody loves Nickelback. Come on. Everybody wants to go to Walmart, get some Axe and some douchebag jeans and listen to Nickelback.
Like I said, off the rails.
I've never had that, but I mean, if anyone did, I'm not.
I've had Axe back in the day, but I've quit that for, gosh, 15, 16 years now. There was like a 6 month period.
This morning.
Yeah, I know. You smelled like it the other day. I'm going to step 2 steps back here and finish the point about the hate in the kids as they get older. Why is it that we, and you know, your parents, my parents, his parents, parents down the line, how come we haven't figured that out yet? The misconnection communication, because as you said, we were there. We grew up as teenagers and did it. And now we are the parents and they're going through it. You'd think somewhere down the line, this path, the same pattern of stuff would have been figured out by now. And I think it's just, you forget. You know, or you not necessarily forget, but you put it in the back of your mind and you don't bring it back forward enough as dads, as parents, even as moms, you know, when it comes to that angsty teenager that's I think more attention needs to be paid. And if done right, that stress, that hate can be alleviated a little bit until that moment when they wake up, like you mentioned, happens and everything is peachy keen.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, there's got to be a way. There's got to be a way. Let's make that our mission. Let's get that word out.
That's what DadCast is about. We are trying. We went to Brookings over the weekend, Nick. Brookings is a beach on the coast of Oregon. So it's part of the extended birthday weekend for the daughter. And, of course, I met a guy, and he asks what I do for a living. And it, for the first time, Nick, it transitioned. You'll be proud of me for this one. You're going to love this. For the first time in the history of the life of J.P. Pierce, the first thing I said I did instead of working in radio, owning a radio station, blah, 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 was I got a podcast.
Nice.
First time I've said that is my go-to, dude. So anywho, so the guy, I told you he would be, guys, we started talking and, you know, obviously what the podcast was about. And he's like, yeah, I've got a couple of meanagers as well.
Wow. That's a hashtag.
Right.
That's like right on the point.
Meanagers. And then, so let me ask you, what did you hear when I said that? Was it meanager or was it meanager? I heard mean because that's what fit with me and my situation. But I didn't tell my lady about it. And a couple hours later, we're having dinner and a perfect scenario happened. The teenager was doing something and she walked by and under my breath and my lady's on my arm. And I said, there goes the meanager. And she looks at me and she's like, that's perfect. She's such a meanager. I'm like, did you hear mean or me? So I went mean, she went me. And it's like a dual hashtag,
multi-meaning.
But right. Is it not? Head on nail. Perfect scenario.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's right up the alley right there.
Buckle up, Brian. It's coming.
I hope not.
Well, we'll revisit this. Hopefully this podcast will be like on season 30 by then. And we'll bring it back. You're going to have a little gray hair in there. And don't get me wrong, Nick. Look, it's fresh. Can you tell? Yeah. Can you tell the beard?
I just let it go.
This beard is pretty much white for the record on any given day. And I just fermented again the other day and it's looking fantastic. I look 10 years younger.
Nice touch.
I told you.
I'm going with the George Clooney, the distinguished beard.
Well, when this matches this, I will stop dyeing this. Okay. But the beautiful red just wants to stick around for a while. So
yeah. Wait till the rest of your kids are teenagers or meanagers.
That
happens a lot faster.
I think so.
Yeah, pretty much.
And my little 8 year old,
3 years,
my sassy, that little sassy frass. I am scared to death of what 14 to 16 looks like with that one, because she's seen older sister. And
she has big shoes to fill.
Yeah. Well, hopefully she doesn't apply said things and sees what happens and goes, I'm going to take a different path than that. Cause boy, does mom and dad get mad at her sometimes. I don't want that. And I hate getting mad. It's just the worst, man. It brings it down. It sucks. I hate and that suck at all.
No one wins.
You know, no one does, but you know, it happens. And even if it's, you got to pick your battles, pick the battles. That's some good advice too that I've learned. Pick the battles. Don't worry about the trash list on the floor for the 870,000th time.
Yep.
That's not a big deal. But, you know, if you snuck out the middle of the night and broke the screen off the window and you had to replace that, well, it's not the screen that's the issue, but that's what I'm going to make it as. Yeah. So we can.
Time for the talk.
What has been the, if there even is one, the scariest, aside from the allergy, overall experience that you have as a dad? So I said best thing. What's the worst thing? Because there is.
You know, I hate leaving them. When I do have to go leave for racing, I hate, and my wife too, I just hate leaving them because it's, you know, is the traveling and the racing, is it really that important that I have to miss time that I can't get back? You know, and again, that's that crossroads I was talking about where, yeah, I want to be, you know, I know this big race is coming up and like there's one at the end of September and it's probably going to end up being like a 4-day event at Martinsville Speedway. And like, I got to be gone for 4 days. I hate doing that. Or when we go to SEMA, that's usually a week. We go to Performance Racing Industry Trade Show in Indianapolis. That's a week. So you add up all these couple days here, week here, you get to the end of the year, it's like a month. I missed a month. Like,
yeah.
You can't get that back. And that's what I'm afraid of, is just missing out on that time that I know I'm not going to get back. I'm not getting any younger. You know, the old adage as it goes, you know, you can't make up for lost time. So that's probably the scariest thing, is the amount of time that I'm missing. Because I feel like every time I turn back around and look at them, they're another foot taller and they're another year older. And I'm like, how did that happen? You know, creeping up on 40. What are, you know, what's going on? So, you know, that's probably the scariest thing, honestly.
I say bring them with you if you can, as often as possible.
We do. Yeah. It's been tough. The COVID restrictions that NASCAR has gone through, very skeleton crew that you're allowed to have. But now that everything's kind of opening back up, we can get them back to the track. Little man really hasn't been to many races, where my daughter in her early years, like it was nothing for her to be hanging out in the pits, playing whatever, because
right.
She just knew she was at the racetrack. Like until last year, this is funny, until like last year, my daughter thought that every dad had a race car in their garage. Like that every dad right? is just a race car driver, you know? So like she's talking to one of her friends at school and she's like, you know, what does your daddy's race car look like? And the kid's like, what are you talking about? So he had to explain to her, no, not everyone's, you know, some dads go fishing and some dads do this, or this is what our dad does, you know, but it's, yeah. It's the little things that make you laugh.
My daughter said the same thing. She stayed the night at her friend's house and she's like, wait, you don't have ding dongs? Hey. That's a fat joke, Nick. Come on. Get up with it. There it is. He got it. There it is.
Nick, I'm back to being disappointed. There was a slight delay.
Oh, it's the pregnant Zoom pause. That's what happened right there. Exactly. when are you, I'm curious, when are you, when you hit the trade show in Vegas, what time of year is that usually?
It's generally, and that's a man. You, that gold that you were talking about, that missing time thing. For the first 3 or 4 years of Ella's life, I was never around for Halloween because it falls right on Halloween.
Okay.
I'm usually traveling on Halloween. And then the first day of November is when the show opens. And I usually have obligations the first 3 days. And then I usually hang around a day or so. Last time I went, I took my wife and we stayed like an extra 2 days. She had never been. So, you know, I kind of gave her the, you know, the walking around at night, wine and diner, and, you know, really enjoy the time with her because she usually doesn't go. But it's usually that November time.
What do you say, man? This year, Nick?
Yeah, I'm in. Let's do it.
But we bring the entire family. I know. Dude, what happened last time? No. You brought a single baby. If you bring mom and maybe another sibling or two, you can, you know. Older brother or sister can hang out with Liam. I
think if we had like a teenager to hang out for a few hours at night, that would have been easier.
But and then we take Brian
around the strip was like scary.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
we take Brian and the wife to the barbershop.
Yeah.
We take him to WS Customs because I guarantee the photo op that's right up his alley.
Yeah.
I mean, you
maybe do another. We'll do another podcast at WS Customs with Brian and Ben and Brian.
That'll work.
Okay, we're gonna book that. I'm not even kidding.
We'll bring Brian Lindsay out too.
Yeah.
Why not?
And we'll rehash it. And you know, that's right. Let's do it from the inside of a shell of a car they're working on.
For that terrible text message.
Also, before we're getting close to the end of our time, Brian. But gotcha. we're not that close. We're not close enough. It's not important. I'm wasting time right now. See, we are doing, and I know it's last minute, but you still fall into the category and the time frames of when we can do this. Are you? What time is that on the 17th, Nick?
I have 7 p.m. right now.
Are you available for 20-30 minutes June 17th at 7 p.m. Pacific time? So 4 o'clock for you.
What? Give me a day of the week.
June 17th is?
It's a Thursday. It's the Thursday before Father's Day.
So actually, no, it's 10 p.m. your time.
So it'd be 10 because I'm on the other side of the universe.
Right. We're 7 p.m. Pacific. So 10 o'clock your time.
I'm in, man. I'm there.
So what we're doing is I am getting as many of our previous guests over the past year on for a recorded Father's Day episode of Dadcast.
That's cool.
And obviously it's not going to be on Father's Day. We're going to record it prior and I'm going to release it on Father's Day. And we have a few surprises involved as far as music talents and debuts of songs from certain bands. Wink, wink. Cool, cool. And anyway, it's going to be like, you know, 35 to, you know, 10 to 35 squares on that Zoom.
Squares of us.
And the chaos.
Like point up at people like the Brady Bunch.
Right, yes. For my case, Nick is right there. You know, there's Nick. Yeah. Hi, Nick. Right there. Up? And then it's all backwards. But that should be a fun, chaotic event. And, you know, basically, we're just going to say hi to each other, wish everyone happy Father's Day, wish all the fathers that deserve it out there in the world. And even the ones that don't deserve it, maybe that'll help them to turn their life around and be good dads.
I'm in on that, man. I'll bring the beer for them.
Yes. Ooh, Nick.
See, even more reason why we should be at Anchor Valley Wine.
We're sponsored by a brewery. The race car is sponsored by a huge brewery. So
we're hoping to get sponsored by a brewery as well.
Pretty soon. We're working on Boneyard World.
Yeah. I just want to be sponsored by Wall Street, man. We're good. You know, Fort Knox, thanks for sponsoring Dadcast. Here's a gold bar. There you go. All right, man. So this I'm without telling Nick my plans, I'm going to institute a brand new segment on Dadcast for at least every time I remember it. And that segment has not have a name yet, but it's basically the guest gets to ask us questions. So anything that's on your mind, whether it be fatherly advice or what I had for breakfast and everything in between, you got a couple of minutes to ask Nick and I some questions, if you have any.
This is good. I can get down with this. I like this. All right. We're going to start, and this is for both of you. Favorite go-to dad dish for dinner? You can't say pizza or Chinese takeout. Go.
Hot dogs. Easy.
Okay. Does Panda Express count as Chinese takeout?
Oh, good, man.
Because honestly, it's not my go-to. It's just she is crazy, like batty for orange chicken. So, okay. Yeah, but when it's at home, you ready? It may sound like difficult, but I've perfected it after taking many trips to South Florida. My go-to, fish tacos.
I need to come try your fish tacos.
Mahi fish tacos. Authentic. Like as good, if not better than anything you get in South Florida. I perfected them. Yes, Nick, you have to have them. Okay. Next question.
Okay.
Next. All right. Again, for both of you, if you had your children and they had to pick up and enjoy and make you happy that they love all three of your top three favorite bands, which are hard to pick on the fly, your kids fall in love with them. Which ones are they?
Oh, easy. Dashboard Confessional, Blink 182. Oof. That's the last one's a tough one. God, I'm going to go with actually right now, all time low. Those guys are killing it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Iron Maiden, Led Zeppelin, Johnny Cash.
He was ready. He knew the question.
I got classic rock. I got your early 80s metal and Johnny Friggin' Cash.
Good mix.
Which spawns into other. That was a great question. Got any more? Come on. This is fun.
Okay. Favorite muscle car since you brought it up.
Ooh, God. It's changed right now. And I hate so cliche, but 67 Shelby GT 350. Eleanor.
All right. Yeah. All right.
I'm going to have to go with the same one. That's
same one. Okay.
Pansy. But before it was, I mean, I was a Mustang guy growing up for the most part. And then it, like I said earlier in the show, then it was just anything with power and makes you go fast. I really like, but man, when I was in high school, I graduated in 1993. My dream car was a 1993 Mustang Cobra, GT Cobra, man. The Fox body style, you could easy to work on. It's so easy to build. And that was my favorite for a while. And I know that's random, but, you know,
you want to hear something
you
more
go back
random?
Roadrunners, the 69 Roadrunners. Oh.
There's a whole bunch there. There's
my dream car was a Gremlin.
A Gremlin?
Yeah, I was a Wayne's World fan.
So I was going to say, someone's been watching way too much Wayne's World.
Licorice dispenser?
Yes.
That's not a muscle car, though. He said favorite muscle car.
Yeah.
Nothing really it muscle matter. About the Gremlin.
There's nothing muscle at all about it.
You know what's...
It's a forearm, not muscle.
So I got my Tesla, and in the Tesla community, they call it the Tesla grin. When you punch it, and it's... I've renamed it the Avery Giggle. My daughter's name's Avery.
Yep.
I put her in that thing, and it's the giggles that come out when I punch it. It's the greatest thing ever, and it happens every single time I do it. Just
I'm pretty sure I giggled and grabbed your thigh when you were taking me in it.
He does. You know, every attempt you get to touch me, Nick, I know. We got to work on that, man.
Oh, JP, stop it.
My daughter says, Dad, I want you to drive me as fast. We're going to the grocery store. Dad, I want you to drive me as fast as you go in your race car. All right, honey, here we go. Doing 44.
Right.
She's like, wee! She thinks we're just hauling the mail down the road.
I went a little faster than that. Sorry, Mom. But it was safe. Oh. Safest car on the planet right there.
That's all right.
It's difficult for me to even still understand how fast these freaking cars are. I mean, there's no one, if someone takes me off the line, I look at them and I laugh in my head and I say, I'll allow it, you know, yeah. Because I don't care what it is, unless it's a $500,000 souped up McLaren sitting next to me, which ain't going to happen in where you're from. No chance. And I don't even have the fast one. No chance. Yeah. And I love that. Now, granted, if we go a little faster than a quarter mile, then that brand new C8 might do its thing, but not off the line, not happening. That's what's so much fun. Brian Obajinski, you got one more question for both of us, or we're going to ask you the same. Yes, three bands, go, that your kids have to listen to.
Right now? Oh, wow, it's a question for you guys. Well, they do. They love 311.
They got grassroots for your money.
They know what's going on. I'm a huge Deftones fan. Big Chino Moreno fan.
We're getting Chino on, apparently. Nick said so.
That's very nice. So big Deftones fan. And the last one, gosh, it'd probably have to be a toss-up. I'm going to have to go like super. I'm going to give you a four. I'm going to be that guy. We're going to go with the Red Hot Chili Peppers, but because of John Frusciante.
Okay.
And we're also going to go with Motorhead because there's no one better than Lemmy.
God, rest in peace. I wish I had a shot of whiskey right now just for that moment.
Absolutely.
All right. And I've got one final question for you.
Yeah.
Completely undad related.
Okay.
What is the one thing that you, when you leave your house, cannot leave without and it can't be your phone?
Wow. Well, I mean, a wallet is a terrible answer because everyone's got to have the wallet.
It's a valid answer, but
I'm going to have to, I can't say glasses because I can't see if I don't have them, but I'm a big watch guy. I got to have my watches on when I leave, you know, it's kind of just the, just the old school thing about me. I like wearing watches.
So good answer.
Not an Apple Watch, not a digital watch.
Just a watch. I'm going to share an answer with you that after I tell this to you, you're going to do what I did when I first heard it. Because I've had the reason I asked that question is I've done so many interviews when it comes with like musicians and stuff on the radio. And that was one of my go-to fun questions that rarely gets asked. And it was asked of me, and I gave, you know, your typical response. I think at the time it was the phone, and I decided you can't do that. Everyone has a phone now. Everyone's going to say the phone, man. George Thorogood gave the best answer to the history of that question, and you're going to go, you ready? What's one thing you can't leave the house for before leaving the day? Kissing his wife. Right.
She's going to watch this. I'm in trouble.
I love you. But I do the same thing. It's like, I was thinking material. It's
right. I feel like we all anything. Suck as husbands right now.
Right? Gosh. Well, there you have it.
When I leave, so we'll put it in. I do, honey. You
just it's a good thing we can cut that whole last
Is she segment. Home right now? We could just get it out of the way. Because That's you know, a good one, though. You're gonna forget Old it, door. Right? You're gonna forget about this one, and then I think this actually episode is gonna air in August, so you're gonna forget, and then it's gonna come back at you and bite you right in the hiney. So, if we want
to make this the clip, the promo clip, it'll be on boosted Facebook post all over the place.
There's gonna be this
every 5 seconds.
I have a sneaky suspicion there's gonna be a couple good clips coming out of this one. He is Mr. Brian Obojenski, NASCAR champ in Division 4 and Division 2. He's an amazing father. On behalf of myself, JP, and Mr. Nick Martin, I want to thank you so very much for taking the time out of your day to come on Dadcast, man. It's been fun.
Absolutely. Been looking forward to it. Keep up the great work, all right?
Absolutely. As long as Nick keeps sitting there and not talking much, we're going to do just fine. I'm kidding. Come on, man. All right. And you got anything, Nick?
I got nothing. I don't talk a lot, remember?
I told him he doesn't talk a lot. Then I gave him the opportunity to fix that. And I still get nothing. But I love him. All right, Brian, thank you so much for coming on. Stick around for a second once we say goodbye. Everyone else, thank you so much for listening to Dadcast. Thank you for watching. We will see all of you next week. See you.